Hello, my marketing and entrepreneur friends. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Let's Talk Marketing podcast, where I, your host, Katya Allison, get to explore the latest trends, techniques, and strategies in the world of marketing. And in today's episode, I have the pleasure of sitting with Katie Cabanas, the founder of Cabanas Consulting and a recognized expert in branding, marketing, and community building. She brings with her years of experience with top brands like AT&T and Coca-Cola and more. She also has a knack for creating strategies that deeply connect people to brands and causes, helping businesses really make these lasting impacts. And in this episode, we go deep on the importance of how to build a strong brand identity and how that aligns with building a corporate strategy. But don't worry, this isn't all about corporate strategy, so don't let that scare you off. She drops knowledge bombs on how to connect with your target audience in meaningful ways and why understanding and defining your brand's message is critical. And dare I say, one of the most critical things to do in order to drive engagement and foster growth. We also get into building communities around your brand, fostering brand advocacy, and why community-driven marketing is a game changer for long-term success. Whether you're working with a startup or part of a well-established brand and company, the insights shared will help you elevate your marketing efforts. So grab your favorite beverage, sit back, and let's dive into it. Let's talk marketing. Katie, welcome to the Let's Talk Marketing podcast. I'm very excited to have you on here today because we are going to be talking about community and how we integrate that with corporate strategy. But community is something that I hold close to my heart, and it is one of my favorite parts of marketing. So welcome.
Katya, thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here and chat with you today.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's dive into getting or having my listeners get a better understanding of who you are. I have my standard questions, very simple, nothing to be afraid of. The first one is, what was your first marketing role? Whether you considered it, whether it has marketing in the title or it doesn't, what would you consider your first marketing role?
Sure. Well, really, it was, honestly, I think I worked retail in high school. And yeah. I realized that how you greet people, and this was, you know, they don't even have these anymore. So, but this idea of a small regional chain of stores, and it was kind of like a mini department store. And I worked the floor and I worked the cash register and I had to sell. And it was great experience because I think about customer service, did well, the brands that didn't. And I think that was really my first foray at an early age into marketing.
Oh, I love that you brought that example and that was your first one. And that's part of the reason that I love to ask this question, because it's not always the role that says marketing in it that we consider that. And right away, that's already told me how you view marketing, right? Very customer-centric, as it should be, right? It's a personable approach. So I love that. Now, that was your past. Let's talk about your present. What do you currently do?
Sure, sure. Well, my background has been in more traditional, not retail sales, although we both agree that that has a marketing bent to it. But working in branding and marketing for the past many years, and working for an international agency. I also lived abroad. And then from there, I did external affairs at a university, which is essentially a lot of sales, fundraising, which of course is marketing in the higher education world. And from yes. there, worked for a professional athlete and helped with his branding marketing. And 7 years ago, I started my own firm because I love the idea that I had the opportunity by having my own consultancy to take strategy for companies and some individuals as well, and really zero in on the strategy and the execution based upon what the client's needs were. Sometimes clients needed the strategy and then they could execute, or sometimes they needed the whole shoot and match. And so, Katya, I love the idea that I can work with my clients to identify their specific needs and then execute.
I love that. Now, you've already given us a taste of what it is that you love by saying that. But with the good comes the bad. What, if anything, if I had my magic wand, could I pluck out of your day-to-day to make it just absolutely perfect or even better?
Well, I love that question. And what I would say is I have my MBA, but I'm not going to be your accountant. I've taken accounting. I'm not going to be the one that you're going to go to and talk tax strategy. So do I love that? Probably not going to be on my first 10 things about what I like, Katya, and what I do as far as the accounting, tax strategy, et cetera, of having my business. However, what I do appreciate is that doing it for myself and then working with larger clients, it's critically important. And so understanding the full facet of all the things that it takes to run a business is really a great opportunity because, for example, as it relates to marketing, I work with my clients to say, talk to me about your current revenue streams and understanding where their revenue is coming from instead of designing a campaign around a shiny product or service. That's not driving revenue, or that's not where they want their revenue to go in the next 12 to 24 months. Then we need to, that needs to be a big piece of the plan. And so today, the finance side, the accounting side, all of that, it really does work together. So I don't love the bookkeeping to answer your question, but really being very clear on all facets of the business gives you, I think it helps me serve my clients better.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I actually personally love that you turned what would be a negative answer into a positive. You're like, I may not love it, but this is how it serves its purpose and what I actually do love to do, right? Which I think that's a really great way to look at really just life in general, but especially in marketing, because there are a lot of pieces that you're not always going to love, but there is a purpose behind all of that. Now, speaking of marketing, I feel like we always have to stay so up to date with the trends and be, you know, on the know of what's happening with Google, with ads, with print, with out of home, all of the things. I'd love to better understand, how are you staying up to date with the trends? Is there a key opinion leader, a newsletter, a podcast, a book? How are you keeping up to date with the trends?
Yeah, well, I love to read. And so I usually start with a couple of broad business outlets that I read. And then I really am looking at what are the industries where my clients are focused and spending a little bit more time within those industries. The Wall Street Journal to me is a go-to because it gives you a smattering of what companies are doing across industries. And I do feel like that's really helpful when you're thinking about that. And I think that goes back to early in my career, when I worked at a PR agency, everybody had a beat. And so even if, let's say, for example, I wasn't working on the AstraZeneca account and somebody else was, if I saw an article on one of the publications that I was focused on, I said, oh, hey, you know, I'm really dating myself here, you know, paper, flagging that article for my colleague who was lead on that account. And then, or even seeing if there was a small article, governmental article that would impact one of their thought leaders and what they were going to be talking about. And so it gave me a chance to really think about how an article about business or an article about government policy would affect a variety of clients. And so that experience is one that I've taken forward in my own client work, fast forward all these years later, that I have my own consulting practice. And so I really enjoy the broad news. I love the journal and then looking within the verticals for a couple of publications that focus, or even blogs, focus on those particular industries.
One of the things that I love about what you said that I don't think that we talk about enough, especially as we're talking about staying up to date with the trends, is a lot, most people interpret that question as, you know, the marketing trends that I'm staying up to date on. But I love the fact that you have widened that into, okay, but let's talk about the verticals, because you're absolutely right. It's so great to be in the know of what my customer is consuming as well too, right? How do I stand out from that? Because that also is a trend that we do want to, and we should want to really be on top of, so that we can really be strategic with what we do moving forward. So that's my key little insight that I'm going to walk away with on this part of the podcast for sure.
Awesome.
Okay. So let's dive into just kind of community and aligning it with corporate strategy. And we're going to start with the basics. What does it mean for a brand to have a strong identity?
So whether I'm working with a smaller business or a large company, I want to have really clear and ensure my client has really clear what are the problems that they're solving with their product or their service. And I realize that sounds pretty simplistic, but at the end of the day, if you can understand the problems that are being solved by your product or service, that is going to help you identify your primary target audience. And then from there, you establish your secondary audience and your tertiary audience. And with that, being super clear on your target audience and the influencers around them, then you can begin to identify, okay, what are the things, these are the problems that we solve for them. What are the other things that are important to them? What's their life like? Yeah. And so then, Katya, it goes back to what we were talking about a moment ago about then you're reading an article in, let's say, the journal, and it's about something not related to your product, but it applies to the problems that are being solved or that particular demographic that you're targeting, something that else that that applies to them. And so those things can become really interwoven and help you say, hey, I'm with you. I understand what your issues are. And it helps you to market in an authentic way.
I like that. And but how does that align with your corporate strategy? Is it that you are better able to tap into what or where they're going to be? Does it help you align with the messaging that you have when you have a strong identity and can really identify those target audiences?
Right. Yes, I think that it does help you identify what the needs are. For example, I have an educational client right now, and so they have a unique business model that what they're offering within education. And so looking at things that affect parents, parents choosing schools, what are trends within education, technology within education, all of those kinds of things begin to affect their target audience and who's choosing schools for kids, it's their parents. And so really understanding who their target audience, and then where do you go, Katya, if your child has a challenge or a problem? You go to a learning specialist, you may go to a psychologist, you may go to pediatricians. So then that becomes, to take this idea that you have your primary audience, then your secondary audience, and then you build out from there. So you know who are the groups that you need to be targeting.
Oh, I love that. Now, how does corporate strategy align with building out communities and driving community engagement? And maybe before we even go into that question, again, another basics question, when we talk about community or when I ask you about community, how are you defining community?
Again, I love to start with who are you selling to? What are the problems that you're solving?
Okay.
And then from there, let's use an educational client. Like you have mom groups and you could potentially identify within that, or you have parenting groups. So not specifically just to moms or dads, but parenting groups in general. And so when you really begin to understand who's buying this product and who's influencing the people who buy, then you say, okay, we want to go and talk to those kinds of people. And then you say, it really helps you to identify how you're going to make your marketing mix by building community. And by building community, it might be you might have an online strategy. You might also have print and work closely with your, you know, traditional communications kinds of activities. You might also have separate and apart from that, a newsletter, et cetera. You get the idea what the mix could be.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What I'm hearing is that the way that you interpret community is, and the distinction is important because I think that a lot of times people mix it up with like my outside community, right? Like how I, as a brand, am engaging with the community around me versus the community that I'm talking about, which is who I'm serving, right? My target audience. How do I align them based on a central point, right? Like what is the reason that they are gathering, and how can I encourage engagement for that reason? And to your point, it is like, maybe it is meetups, maybe it is like printed ads, maybe it is a bunch of different things. I'd love to hear your thoughts on like ways that a brand can foster community or build community. Yeah, I guess it's not that I want to know that. I want to know, how do I even get started in building that community? If I know my target audience, but just because I know that they all have a similar problem or a similar, you know, that Venn diagram of things that they are all alike, doesn't mean that they're going to gather for things. So how do you make that leap?
Yeah. So Katya, I love that question. And one of the things that I have been talking to my clients, and especially we're taping this at the beginning of a new year right now. And so we had this conversation with a lot of my clients at the end of the year, last year, is saying, how are you going to take stock in what you did and what you did well for your clients? And we have the opportunity in a variety of ways to do our own market research. And that doesn't have to be oh so formal. It can be your social media strategy. How often do you put a poll on your social media? And then the analytics on what comes back. That's something you could do today.
Yes.
Separate and apart from that, maybe you want to do a survey with your people who stay on your website. If you're monitoring, you know, staying on your website, but their products, they're ultimately not purchasing, you know, what might be a survey that you could do with those kinds of folks? What about the people who are making the purchase? How can you say, what are we doing well? What do you want us to do better? And so it gives you a really quick read when you're asking people. Ask for the feedback.
Yes.
Powerful. Because feedback is neutral. And they're going to give you their perspective. And you're going to put it in your mix and try and understand. But when you ask for the feedback, then you can begin, back to your question, then you can begin to say, okay, maybe I need to tweak this a little bit. I have one client in the health and wellness business, and she had to begin to adjust some of her offerings that she was doing within her community. And instead of doing a paid community, she cycled off the paid community and then did other kinds of events because she didn't have the engagement that she wanted. And some quick and easy survey kinds of questions and helped her make that decision and feel really good about making that decision. She had a great year last year.
What I love that you articulated is that it doesn't have to be complicated, right? It is as simple as asking a question at a certain time that is consistent, that is going to give you the feedback to really help determine the best type of community and also help drive the engagement of that community with that information that it is that they're providing, right?
Right.
I love that so much. Now, when you are building it around a brand, I think this is the part that's also very close to my heart, right? I feel so strongly about community. And I think that as a brand, when that community aligns with your core values, it just increases your brand equity, in my opinion, right? Because like-minded values, your audience grows, and that's ultimately what people want to be able to see. But sometimes it can be a challenge to quote unquote sell the idea of community to executive leadership, right? So what is your advice for aligning or putting effort into nourishing a community with executive leadership who's looking at like, oh, this is our business goals. We all want leads. What is this community? It all community almost seems like a little soft, I guess, for lack of a better word, versus like a true marketing initiative of lead generation.
Well, it's that's a great question. And I think that you tailor your audience based upon the individual who's asking it. And so based upon that, the way that you're asking that question for, you know, it's a hypothetical, somebody who's maybe not so hip on some of these ideas, go back to where's our revenue coming from and how are we going to become closer to the people who are buying our product? And by establishing community organizations or community, fostering these community events, that's how we're going to be doing this. And really ensuring that you're clear on who's buying your product, who your target audience. And I mentioned to you as well, that secondary audience. So let's take the education. So certainly you want parents, but you want the people advising parents as well.
Yes.
And so I think that's really important that you understand that you're showing that skeptical executive in this question, how the purchasing decision is made. So that's number one. And the second piece that I would say to you is that we all know that, you know, it used to be seven touches before. Mm-hmm. Now it's eking closer to, depending upon the industry, anywhere between 10, 12, 14 touches. Those kinds of events are touches. And when you look at it in that way, then you're realizing, okay, this is what I'm doing. This is what it takes to get these sales.
I also think that it's a way to make that true connection. And I think that's the value that community brings, is that it really makes your brand incredibly sticky, right? There's something about community that is so much more personal than just giving them what they need, maybe giving them a user guide or a video or a webinar to watch. Like, there's just so much more meaning behind a community event, whether it is virtual or in person, right?
Right. And when you build in a mechanism whereby you're getting that feedback, what you essentially have the opportunity to do is change that community event into a focus group.
Yes.
And that's why asking questions and getting feedback is critical.
And I always think like the best key question to ask for me that I've seen pretty successful over time is like, what can we do to make this better? Like, absolutely. What else do you want to know? What else can we create? Right.
Yeah. And to your point, that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Sorry about that. That was forgot to silence my phone there. The other thing that I really love that you said was, how do we get close to our customers? And ultimately, that's always what we want, because if we can build brand advocates out of those who are already purchasing from us, it can be so incredibly impactful. I'd love to hear your thoughts on brand advocacy.
I love that question. And what I would say is, each company defines brand advocacy in a little bit different way. And the beauty is that your company can define it in the way that makes sense for you.
Yeah.
So I think that that's important to make that distinction is how are we defining brand advocacy? Because it's not, you know, not a term that is universally, there's a black and white description on that.
So I couldn't agree more. I feel like defining marketing terms internally is so important because I often find this is why I asked the community question. People have different definitions of what you would think is so clear. Like, no, community is XYZ, brand advocacy is XYZ. Right. And then you ask two people in the same company, and it's amazing what happens when you do and how not aligned they are. And I'm a big believer that marketing is as much internal as it is external. So if internally you guys are not aligned on terms, then you know it can wreak havoc, I feel like.
Yes, yes. And that's one of the things I really like to do. One offering that I have in my consultancy is serving as a fractional CMO for companies. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that, so it's, they need high level strategy, but for a short period of time, they don't need to make a hire. They need a few months of strategy around typically an issue or a challenge. And that's one of the things that I like to do. Okay. How do you guys define that? How do you define this? How do you define brand advocacy? What do you think about it? Is it working for you guys? Really understand internally within the organization, within my client, how they're defining some of those terms. And then you say, how are you measuring success? Because some people, for example, view brand advocacy as social media influencers. Okay, great. Then we'll measure in that way. And other people say, oh no, it's a brand ambassador in, you know, a location. That's fine. They're both correct because it works for their organization.
Well, and you know, clearly defining those terms, that's a great example, by the way. I love that because those are two very true responses, but the strategy is slightly different.
Yes.
And I want to kind of unpack a little bit of corporate strategy versus non-corporate strategy. I don't know what the inverse of corporate strategy is, but I know that I've worked with a lot of startups and a lot of small businesses. And when they hear corporate strategy, it seems so structured, seems almost a little stuffy and like, I'm not that big guy. I don't need that. I need this. I'd love to hear your thoughts on like what that difference is and what one can learn from the other.
I love that distinction that you just made. And if you look within the United States right now, over 90% of the businesses in this country are considered by the federal government small businesses. But they're not these large, we all know who the large companies are.
Yes.
But the vast majority of businesses in this country are not that. And so therefore, you have the opportunity as a startup or a small to mid-sized business to define for you what your marketing terms are.
And how do you think the size of a company affects the way they structure their strategy? Or are there just kind of a foundational framework that they can work within?
I think it really depends on what your resources are. And that means certainly your budget, yes, but also people and what's the area of expertise. And then let's go back to where we started our conversation, your clients and where are they consuming and what are the kinds of things and how are you getting close to your clients and making your messaging sticky?
Mm-hmm. The stickiness is the key part, right? That is the brand equity that I think that we're all seeking from a brand perspective.
Yeah, now, brand messaging is one thing that I will tell you that is across the board, whether you're a startup or a huge company, your messaging is critical.
Uh-huh. I couldn't agree with you more. Now, looking forward, what kind of trends do you see as far as for marketing that we all kind of need to be aware of so that we can either execute our community-driven strategy differently or our strategy in general? What kind of marketing trends are you seeing?
So I will go back to what we talked about within your messaging is sometimes we have the ways, let's say the 3 to 4 to 5 ways that we talk about our product. And one of the things that I really encourage clients to do is take a moment and say, is this working for where we are today? We're beginning, as we talked about, a new year. This is a great point to say, what did well over the past year and what didn't do as well? Okay. Then from that, you say, what were the messages that we used in those particular campaigns?
Yeah.
And look at your messaging. And I think that is perhaps not a trend, but absolutely a best practice. And it's
yes.
a great way to start your year. And it's a great thing if you're mid-year and you're having a dip in sales. Ask yourself, okay, wait a minute, let's take stock. And so that's one thing that I'm doing. I'm in the process of doing with my clients right now.
Yeah. Well, it's the beginning of 2025. This is the best time to do it, right?
Yes.
And you know, and I like what you said. It is not necessarily a trend, but it should be a trend because it is a best practice. Like it should be a constant feedback loop of yes. what it is that you're doing, right? What went well, what didn't go well. And more importantly, if it didn't go well, why didn't it go well? Can we double click on that to figure out how we can make it work? Because sometimes it can be a small thing, but if you don't take the time to really evaluate and take a look at unpack it, then you never know. You chalk it up as that's a loss, but there could be some wins in there.
Absolutely. Well,
this has been an amazing conversation. I have one final question for you. And that question is, if you knew then what you know now, what is the marketing or non-marketing advice that you give to yourself?
I love this question. I love that you asked this one. And Katya, what I would say is all the experiences count. And sometimes, especially for perhaps some of your listeners who are earlier in the earlier stages of their career, they're like, oh, there's a right decision and a wrong decision. And I know I felt that way. And then I realized now with a little bit more more in hindsight and a little more experiences, okay, wait a minute. That wasn't the best, but what did I learn from that? And what did I learn?
Yeah.
And then you take what you learned and you apply it to the next and to the next experience. And like, oh, wait a minute. I had a, you know, I had a funny feeling and I didn't listen to that.
Yeah.
Sure enough, there was something there. So, you know, those are kinds of things. So all the experiences matter and they're meaningful. And so take the pressure off and tell yourself, I'm learning from this.
Absolutely. I couldn't think of a better way to end and wrap up the podcast. It is giving yourself grace and really yes. truly finding the silver lining in everything and every experience that you have and do. Thank you so much, Katie, for coming on here and just sharing your insights.
Katya, thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Yes. Welcome back. And I am ready to dive into my key takeaways. The first key takeaway is community at the core. Think of community engagement like being part of a vibrant neighborhood block party. It's not just about fun, it's about strengthening bonds. And when we weave community efforts into our business strategies, it's like inviting customers into our family. This connection deeply enhances brand loyalty and integrates seamlessly with your company goals. Now, tying it back to your business means aligning community initiatives, aka the block party, directly with your company goals. You want the community to all be part of the neighborhood watch, right? On your block party example, or in the block party example, it would be the equivalent of wanting everybody to join the neighborhood watch party. Or you want them to invest in a new product that will add value. And that's the business side of it, right? So this is how community can powerfully impact your brand's identity and deepen customer loyalty. imagine weaving these efforts into the very fabric of your corporate objectives. More practical applications of this for your business is using input from community forums to kind of tweak your product's features, ensuring it meets real user needs. This direct feedback loop not only enhances the product development, but it also strengthens the community's commitment to the brand, creating advocates who feel very heard and very valued when they see what they say in action. This alignment turns community engagement from a sideline to a central player in driving business growth. Insight number two, insights into action. So now I'm a self-confessed marketing data dork. Diving deep into marketing data isn't just about understanding what your customers are doing. It's about improving how you serve them. Using detailed marketing insights to tailor customer service responses can significantly enhance satisfaction and, again, foster loyalty. The loyalty part is what makes a brand sticky. Consider a scenario where analytics from your latest campaign show that customers frequently ask about a very specific product feature. Armed with that insight, your customer service team can proactively address these kind of questions that come in their interactions, providing detailed explanations and personalized recommendations, which can then boost customer satisfaction and retention. You can also get that information to your product team. And again, it's your community. It all ties back to community as well too, right? It's your community voicing what it is that they love or don't love about your product. Customer interactions can give you a golden nugget of information. When you dive into marketing data, it's like mining for gold. Each insight helps us serve our customers better, turning routine service into exceptional experiences. And my final key takeaway for today, key takeaway number three, meeting your bottom line with marketing. Now, effective marketing doesn't just captivate, it converts. It makes sense into sense. So C-E-N-T-S, sense, get it? It's a little play on words. Probably easier if you see it on the screen. Anyways, bygones. Aligning your marketing strategies with your financial goals means every campaign is a step towards the higher revenue. It's about crafting marketing initiatives that do more than attract. They actively contribute to the bottom line. Think of your marketing budget like seeds in a garden. You're not just scattering them randomly. You're planting them in rows. You want them to strategically bloom and grow into a garden that will bring people in so that every campaign is cultivated with the growth mindset of the bottom line. Now, this strategic approach ensures that the marketing investments are not only measurable, but they're also tied to revenue outcomes. It's not just about spending on marketing, it's about investing in it. And with each dollar spent, expected to yield a quantifiable return and also doing what you wanted it to do. Now, what did you take away from today's episode? I want to hear it. Post it on the Let's Talk Marketing LinkedIn page, our YouTube channel. Leave it in a review on Apple. I would love a review. A special thank you to my podcast editor, Johnny Ike. And thanks to you for spending time with me today. Until next time, may the conversations linger. The outlook remain optimistic, but grounded in reality. This is Katya signing off.